now there's all sorts of con exclusives that you can get.
Oh, boy.
If you want to spend $300 just to spend money and then spend most of your weekend standing in line.
Not me.
Get all the con exclusives.
But then you can make your money $300 back. $300 to get you in to San Diego Comic-Con. Everything else you want to see will cost you extra. This is Geeks of the Square Table, episode 44.
Wow.
44?
Magnum. Letter 44. I'm just going to be making number puns from here on out to 52.
You shouldn't use words with numbers.
Speaking of word crimes.
Yeah, Weird Al's back.
Yes, that's right.
Big time.
And, we're a bunch of people who have not been named.
Oh, we're supposed to intro.
Yeah.
All right. My name is Lawrence of America.
I'm Adam.
Gomer.
Steve.
Taylor.
The MC Bat Commander.
God damn it.
It's better than the Pee Wee Herman one.
Yeah.
Jules.
Actually, I had a Pee Wee Herman one ready to go.
Glad. Yeah, say your name, man. It's not hard.
Weird Al is back.
He's back, folks.
He's got a new album.
Mandatory Fun.
And he's releasing a single every day this week.
Yeah, he's got
a video every day.
And a video, yeah.
Yeah, so far the ones I've heard, Word Crimes, parody of Blurred Lines.
Yeah.
Which is my favorite so far.
Yeah, it's the best one. So far. It's pretty damn funny.
Because I'm tacky, I guess is just the name of the dumb parody of Happy.
Pretty funny.
A lot of celebrity backup on that.
Yeah, it looks like it was shot in one shot.
It does. The video is really well done, and a lot of cameos in that video. Yeah. Really
Jack
fun
Black
to watch.
Oh,
dude.
That seemed like a video that everybody is like, "Hey, we're gonna do. I got the song. Don't know what to do. Yo, guys, come on. Let's."
It seems
let's
like
have a few
yeah.
Beers,
it seems like Weird Al put it on his Twitter. Yeah. And said, "Hey, who wants to do this? Who's like, in the area?" And everybody showed up.
If I'm a prominent comedian and I'm allowed to be in a Weird Al video, I'm there.
Dude, right? Exactly. Oh, yeah. Exactly.
I don't know. I don't care if I'm a comedian or not. If Weird Al asked me to be in a video, I'm there.
Dude,
even Kurt Cobain said the first time his first time he realized he was famous is when Weird Al called.
Yeah, smells like Teen Spirit. Yeah. The thing about Weird Al, he's always been cool like that. Like,
oh, what was the other one he just?
Oh, Foil blazed on Royals.
Foiled, instead of a Royals.
Yeah.
That was released today?
I think so, yeah.
Today is day three. Yeah. I haven't seen that one yet.
My favorite Weird Al story is, he doesn't need permission to do these parodies. He's got,
right,
by law, he can do
asks.
That. He always asks. And Coolio, when he did Amish Paradise, Coolio said, "No, I don't want you to do it." And he said, "Screw you, Coolio," and did it anyway.
Yep.
What's the point of asking permission?
Well, at some award show, Coolio came out and called him out. And then... it was years later.
Now I can. I don't have to worry about wearing bulletproof
they
vests.
Did they did an award together.
Yeah,
he had Coolio's hairstyle. Only his hair was way longer than Coolio's. He did the braids everything out.
And that's another big thing of Weird Al's that I love. It's his hair.
For those who have never seen Gomer, he's totally ripping off Weird Al's hairstyle.
I think Weird Al ripped off my hair.
The story behind the Coolio thing, just FYI, is he originally got permission do it from Coolio's people.
Then
when Coolio got the message, they had already done the video.
Yeah, because Coolio didn't know who Amish people were.
He didn't get the message till several months later.
Not many
later,
in L.A.
And
County.
They had already recorded the track, shot the video, did everything. And he said, "No, I don't want you to do it." Yeah. So then he decided to release it anyway.
Yeah. And it actually brought people to Coolio.
Yeah, exactly.
To his music.
Yeah. But I think it's really amazing how Weird Al has made his living off parodying other people and has been able to be relevant for, four decades now?
Yeah.
It's amazing. Five decades,
considering
maybe.
Considering that he sent a mixtape to Dr. Demento.
Exactly. Yeah. With accordion music on it.
Dude. Ever heard, his original stuff, his very first stuff, it's like him and an accordion and Steve Bermuda shorts.
Another One Rides the Bus, wasn't that
the
original?
Another One Rides the Bus was the one that made him famous.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he did a couple other songs, too, and that was the one that got picked up and got in rotation. Yeah. But,
so do we need to go through and ask everybody's favorite Weird Al song?
That's literally the only instruments in Another One Rides the Bus are...
accordion.
Weird Al's voice, an accordion, and a suitcase.
Yeah.
Not a drum set. Steve is playing a suitcase.
Yeah.
And a 5-gallon bucket.
That's awesome.
Yep.
I love that song.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's a good one.
Well, do we not want to do favorite Weird Al songs?
Let's do favorite Weird Al. Weird Al is not a parody, ironically.
Well, neither is mine.
It is The Good Old Days.
Yes. Awesome song.
Yeah, and it's one of the few Weird Al originals.
Yeah.
You know, he's right in saying his originals don't get as much credit as they deserve.
Yes.
Yeah. But he does say he enjoys doing both and he'll keep doing both.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Right.
Do you have a favorite Weird Al song?
I do not.
I would have to say Buckingham Blues. Oh, I love it. It's just a song about the royal family in the 80s. And the royal family was huge in the 80s and it had a real impact. It was hilarious.
Yep.
It's hard to say one.
That's what I'm saying. It's too hard to be picking one video from Weird Al.
Because
I like Ray Stevens.
Oh, okay,
It's like picking the hardest of Ray Stevens.
Anyone who doesn't know Ray Stevens is like the country western version of Weird Al.
Well, actually, he does original songs.
Oh, yeah. Well, Weird Al does too, but yeah.
But he is just, I can't because I like so many of them. It's no favorites.
I'm going to cheat. I'm going to say my favorite parody is Amish Paradise, and my favorite original is Charles Nelson Reilly.
Oh, great. Oh, awesome.
It's just called CNP, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd have to say
CNR.
Go ahead.
I'm going to take a page out of Taylor's book, and my favorite original is Dare to Be Stupid.
Yes.
And my favorite parody is the Beverly Hillbillies.
Oh, great, great. Great. Dare to Be Stupid from the Transformers movie.
Yes.
Yes.
Damn.
Yeah. And we did mention Eric Idle was actually in that.
Eric Idle was the voice of Wreck-Gar.
Yep. Go ahead, sorry.
Which is funny because... Oh, go ahead.
You just can't get a word in.
Yeah, he's not in any of the podcasts we're recording.
I'm scared, but my favorite parody is The Saga Begins.
Oh, yes!
That was a great
video. That's the best thing to come out of episode one.
Yeah.
Whatever, Pulp Fiction dance.
Yeah,
that was pretty
And it's not just a good lyrically. He nails it perfectly, man. Nails it.
If you like Star Wars, it's a phenomenal song and hits the heartstrings, actually. It's like, it's a good American Pie cover, too.
Yes.
It's kind of ridiculous. He hits it all, and it doesn't feel overly funny. It just feels like, this is a good Star Wars song.
Yeah.
Doesn't he do like other ones like Yoda and something else?
Yeah. That was off an earlier album. Yeah. Way before
the new Star Wars movie. Yeah.
That was done to Lola.
Yeah.
It's really neat. Occasionally, he will go back and do these old songs. Like one of his newer songs, Craigslist.
Yeah.
Is a parody of, The Doors.
Yeah.
And it's actually a parody of a music video from the 70s.
Yes.
And if you've seen that old video, it's
dead on
the video.
But just back away from the music, just like Weird Al's a person. It's just, he seems like such a amazingly fun guy. Like, he's willing to, like, show up and do cameos for, like, the most random people. Like, we were just talking about epic rap battles. He's, in this season, he's Sir Isaac Newton.
Yeah.
And he totally kills it. He showed up on a How I Met Your Mother for like a 5-second
just
cameo.
A couple.
He stole these songs that Ted came up with.
He showed up on the Aquabat Super Show, season one.
Just a couple months ago, I saw a clip of him doing... He had a paper shredder on stage, and he was doing his Skrillex impersonation.
Yeah.
And it was from behind him. And it shows him putting the paper in there, and then he puts it in there, and he just throws his hands up in the air, and the crowd just goes freaking nuts. And it was just... It's perfect Weird Al, man.
Yep. I do want to say my favorite parody... is it's all about the Pentium.
Oh, yeah. It's very dated. Very dated now.
No, it's not.
It is. He talks about Windows 95 in there and things like
that. He doesn't mention Windows 95. The only tech specs he mentions is 100 gigabyte of RAM. And when he went... And he mentions...
That's so cute.
Everything he mentions is about the old slow... We don't have 100 gigabytes of RAM. Top RAM is like 16 right now. He did a song about technology 20 years later that the lyrics aren't dated.
Some of those lyrics are dated.
Only when he's referring to the other people that he's better than.
Yes, okay.
Because he does say, you think your Commodore 64 is neato, but although it is dated, it's dated appropriately because that still fits the reference.
Yep.
My kids had a Weird Al kick a few months ago, and they couldn't get over the Stuck in the Drive-Thru song. They were singing that forever.
The funny thing
it was
is,
annoying.
He was on TMZ, and he was nice to him, and they did like this 10-minute on-the-spot interview where he was locked out. And the guy at his concert was doing the security at the door for the concert, didn't recognize him.
Oh, man.
Oh, my gosh.
And he had to wait for somebody to come verify it was him.
Yep. Wow.
And he was being interviewed by TMZ. It was his own concert.
Yeah. It's just
and
sounds...
he did a song about it.
There was a...
That was a cool to roll with it.
There. Yeah. There was a New Year's Eve party, which Weird Al was at. It was at a bar. Weird Al was there. Steven Tyler was there. And Alice Cooper was there. And they did a cover of Come Together.
Oh, nice.
Jesus. That is cool.
Nice.
He did...
Alice Cooper's a pretty fun guy, too.
Yeah. Right?
He did that cameo in Wayne's World.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
You're right, Todd.
Yeah. These guys know how to party or
Miller.
What?
Yeah.
Alice Cooper's done a bunch of that 70s show.
He was in the Dark Shadows movie, recut of that. Yeah.
He was Man vs. Food.
Yes.
Yeah, Weird Al did Which Drew is gone Carey. Now. He did an episode where Drew Carey started his band, and Drew Carey is also another famous accordion player.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He's like, who are they going to find to replace me? That it's like Weird Al, But yeah, no.
But just a timeless guy.
Cameos.
We've all grown up with Weird Al.
Yeah.
I would hope so.
It's amazing. Now my kids get to do it.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah.
The Alice Cooper Dungeons and Dragons episode of that 70s show.
Yeah.
It's pretty hilarious. So. Yep. Even though it's awesome. Only like the last 5 minutes of that.
We could talk about Weird Al all day. I guess
we really should jump onto something
else. Mentioned Epic Rap Battles. You know, they just wrapped up their third season. And, you know... Like I said, they've gotten Weird Al a cameo. They've gotten a lot of great
They've got Key and Peele to do it. That's some of the best ones. Yeah. Like Key and Peele being Gandhi and Martin
Luther King. Oh, yeah. They are hilarious.
On it at one point.
Who?
Snoop Dogg.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No,
Snoop Lion.
I don't know how they get... some of these people to do the cameos.
I'm sure they just ask, people are like, "Oh yeah, I'm a fan. I'll come do it." Yeah,
right.
Yeah. I'm sure it's the other way around. I'm sure they're like, "This shit is hilarious.
Yeah,
I could do this."
They're getting 30 million views. I'm sure. I'll do that.
It's all about promoting yourself.
With Epic Rap Battles, do the cameo people do they write their own lyrics sometimes? Because I feel like Key and Peele must have because they were among the funniest.
Key and Peele are, I think. Out of anybody or everyone,
I'm almost positive Weird Al wrote his.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But Key and Peele would be able to do their own.
And
hilarious guys, man.
I mean, it looked like something they would have done on their show anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm fairly sure that at least Snoop Dogg rewrote his lines, but on almost all, they do give credit to the lyrics to a lot of the cameos. But some of them, it's them and...
They're working together. I'm sure that's half of the fun, man.
Everything you say, I said it first. Why don't I play this back so you can steal my first verse?
The bottom line is, I'm celibate. And when he says, I'm celibate, because I don't give a fuck. Or Martin Luther does, I have so much street cred, they put my name on the sign.
Yes! That's awesome.
I have a dream that someday you'll take a shower.
Bruce Lee versus Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
Sherlock Holmes.
I beat you at Watson versus Batman and Robin. None of your favorite survives for a sequel.
I like the Doctor versus Doc Brown.
Yes.
That's a great one.
Which one was the one with Dr. Seuss? Who was he?
I don't remember that.
Shakespeare.
Oh, okay.
Some of the matchups, like, what the hell do these people have to do with each other?
Yeah, Dr. Seuss and Shakespeare.
Mario Brothers versus the Wright Brothers.
Okay, that's
a silly one.
Tangentially
Hulk Hogan versus Kim Jong-il.
Stuff like that.
What's the pairing here? I don't understand.
They both yell a lot.
Well, they got their shirts.
Yes. Kim Jong-il, he's always known for that.
Constantly tearing his shirt. I don't think I've ever seen a single photograph of him not tearing his shirt.
Him and Putin without shirts.
Season 2, I thought the one, the Russian one at the end, that was probably one of their best written ones.
The one was like all the... Okay, yeah.
Yeah, Didn't it started out Rasputin versus Stalin or something?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and then it like went to Lenin and somebody else.
Yeah,
like,
Lenin and Gorbachev and
Putin shows up. So it had like five guys in it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and they do a remarkable job to working in good facts. And, you know, as a Stephen King...
I wouldn't use it as a source for a term paper, but sure.
No, but they work it, they reference a lot of actual historical facts. And Stephen King versus Poe was awesome for that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's a good one. Definitely.
You know, and as a big Stephen King fan, I thought they nailed the look pretty good, too. But honestly, they probably could have got Stephen King to do the cameo. He's another guy.
He does cameos. He was on the cameo of Sons of Anarchy, believe it or not. And they actually...
Oh, that just seems so random.
It does. Yeah. And he was a cleaner. He came and, like, got rid of the dead body. Yeah. And he said, dude was like, oh, I know a guy. And he called Richard Bachman.
Yep.
If you don't know Stephen King's pseudonym,
his very evil awesome alter ego, Richard Bachman.
Yeah. I think he's a nice alter ego.
He died.
He was dead at the start.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
He started out dead. All his stuff was published post-mortem.
Yeah.
You know, he also did a cameo in a George Romero movie called Knight Riders, one of his few non-zombie movies.
Yeah. Which was a great movie.
Even though the premise is a little hilarious.
Yeah.
He was in Pet Sematary.
He's been in all his movies.
Maximum Overdrive. He directed that one.
Was he in Fox's Millennium?
I have no idea.
Because I know Art Bell was in it.
Oh, I
Art Bell
I have
did
no
a cameo in Millennium, but I can't remember if Stephen King did a cameo.
I have no idea.
But Art Bell and Stephen King kind of look
alike. I know, right?
Yeah, it's scary.
It'd be interesting to see who has the most cameos. Kevin Smith, Stan Lee, Stephen King,
I feel like it's got to be Stan Lee at this
point. Probably. Dollar for dollar, Stan Lee.
I don't know. Stephen King has a lot of movies.
But he doesn't have the money behind... I bet Avengers made more money than the totality of the Stephen King movies.
I'm not talking about I'm talking about actual appearances.
Yeah. Bodies of work.
Bodies of work. Probably I'd have to go and see what all Stephen King has been in. But, Stan Lee has been in a lot.
He's been making cameos in Marvel movies for over a decade.
Tobey Maguire Spidey.
To IMDb, this question relatively easy. Stephen King has 21 cameos to his credit.
Okay.
All right.
So it might not be. It's going to be close.
More than I thought.
I think Stan Lee had a cameo in the first X-Men movie.
How many did Hitchcock have? Didn't he cameo every movie he was in?
Perhaps.
He has a lot. Hitchcock? Oh, yeah.
Stan Lee has no official credits.
What?
So,
as cameos?
Apparently all his cameos are uncredited, but he is in pretty much every movie.
Yeah.
Okay, just how many Marvel movies have been made?
I'm sorry. He may not be an Actor Guild member.
Right.
The thing,
Stephen King is?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I wouldn't blame him. You get good at health insurance.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure Stan Lee's Marvel lifetime health insurance, though, Disney life insurance now, is much better.
He's got, cosmic rays.
He probably never had the balls to come up to Stan Lee and say,
hey, you got the Disney
stuff. Yeah, right.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, Stan Lee into the Winter Soldier. They freeze him. Next movie he can cameo it just to keep him alive. The man's 91.
This
folks.
Seems
he
like
it, look a day
we're talking
16.
About Stan Lee. We probably should go ahead and transition into comic books.
Yeah, let's transition to comic books.
A lot of big announcements.
There
in
was
comic books.
Huge Thor news yesterday. On
that's probably the biggest
on
news.
On the View.
For those who didn't know, Marvel.
Whoopi Goldberg of all people.
Whoopi Goldberg's huge geek.
Huge.
Yes,
she played Guinan. She was on TNG.
She asked to be on TNG.
Yeah, she asked to be on it because she was such a Star Trek fan.
Yes. In fact, Star Trek's the reason she got into acting, because she watched the original series
and Uhura.
And Uhura inspired her.
She didn't realize that African-American women could do that until she saw her on
and
screen.
Then,
and she said, I'm going to do
that.
An
actor.
Yes.
So, yes.
Gives me chills just thinking about that.
Is a big,
I know.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about Thor.
Yeah, it's all about Thor.
The big news is that
Thor Odinson
is going to become unworthy in the near future for some reason, and the
undisclosed
the mantle of Thor and Mjolnir are going to pass on to a female character who we are assured is someone new. It's not going to be Valkyrie or Sif or anyone like that.
No.
Or Thor girl, who is she even still?
Thorida as well. That's another Thor girl.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah,
no, neither of
them. Her name is Thorida.
Yeah,
that makes me think of Flow Rida.
It makes me think of French fries. Orida French fries. Tater tots.
Thorida was.
When you say Orida, it's Orida. No shit, I would love that right now.
That's where that came from.
But either way, this sounds like a pretty staggering status quo shifting.
The internet broke in half. They were calling it Thorgate.
Yep.
People coming up and
Thorgate
and up in arms about this, and considering
fanboys.
Exactly. Yeah. Considering that once upon a time Thor was a frog and an alien,
this is part of the course.
I don't think it's that big
this
of a
supposedly
stretch.
Will stick. This isn't going to be like a one arc thing like the frog thing was.
Yeah.
Well, stick for it's obviously not going to stick forever.
No.
These things just don't.
Thor will definitely get the hammer back eventually. Yeah. Odin's son.
He'll do some sort of redemption quest. Yeah.
Yes.
At most, it will stick until it's done.
And on our own site, Kendall Ashley wrote a pretty good write up on
it. She really did. Yeah. I really like.
And she wrote some good points. Like, as long as this isn't just like shameless pandering.
Yeah.
As long as this isn't just like a gimmick to sell books.
Yeah.
Right. And for those who are familiar with Jason Aaron's work, by no means would he do this as a gimmick.
I trust Jason Aaron.
The man doesn't like
gimmicks. Now, he does weird stuff just for the sake of being weird.
But he doesn't like gimmicks.
Exactly.
I categorize him as more insane than weird.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I mean that as a compliment.
Totally agreed.
He's a modern day Warren Ellis. He's softer touch than Warren
Ellis. That Warren Ellis is still writing. That's kind of a weird thing.
Warren Ellis is past his prime, let's be honest. Warren Ellis isn't the most relevant writer back in his day.
Yeah. Warren Ellis, if you hear this, we'll gladly give you Jules' home address.
Oh, no, if Warren Ellis comes to my house and murders me, that's the best day of my life.
We're going to write up an article about it.
No, I'd be awesome.
If Mr. Ellis would like to call in and be a part of the show, that would be great.
If you want our help killing Jules, we will totally drop any bounds of Warren
Ellis. I think you understand, Warren Ellis is in my top five writers.
He's awesome. He's awesome.
He's incredible.
But back to Thor.
Trees number two sucked, but go ahead.
Whatever. Okay.
Wait. The authority. You're professing this love for Warren Ellis. Is Bendis Storm get jealous?
No.
Back on to Thor.
Yeah, let's get back on to Thor. Thor's big change.
It depends on the execution.
Of course.
Whenever they do these big status quo changes, like when they kill Captain America, that was executed well.
Very well.
Replacing him was executed well.
Yes.
Bringing him back was executed well. Yes. So that was a very good thing that they did in the end.
Yes. So also, they're canceling FF or.
That's not official.
Fantastic Four
that is not official.
Not actual Fantastic Four has been canceled.
Okay.
There are rumors that the Fantastic Four 616 book will be canceled when the Fantastic Four movie, which it has been rumored has nothing to do with the actual Fantastic Four that have been in comic books for 70 years.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be a whole new
Maybe canceled. New the Marvel 616 Fantastic Four book may go away for a
while. What's the point? Why are you calling it Fantastic Four in the first place? Just
because they have the license.
Make it an IP or something.
They're going to use it and they don't want to go back to
Marvel.
Original IPs just aren't. Hollywood is scared. Hollywood knows that Fantastic Four is recognizable and known.
If they don't do something different, everybody's going to imagine, well, this is just a crappy remake.
Yeah. But, yeah. And won't they lose the Fantastic Four license if they don't make a movie at some point?
Yeah, it's the same way that with Spider-Man, X-Men, and Sony.
They're going to make them.
But,
of course, if at the end of the day, Disney just wants these licenses. They have the
money to buy them?
They can just buy it out whenever they fucking feel like it.
Oh, of course.
And for those, also, speaking of the Fantastic Four, I don't know if anyone knows
this. Not saying it would be wise, but they could.
They could,
definitely. This came into light recently as they were originally trying to make a Fantastic Four film that has to do with the Fantastic Four. As it turns out, Universal owns Namor. I don't know if anybody knew this, but this is just recently, like this past week, Fox was... Or is it Sony?
Sony
who owns the Fantastic Four.
I believe
Four.
No, that's Fox.
No,
Fox has that.
Sony is just Spider-Man.
Yes.
Sony is just Spidey.
So Fox has the Fantastic Four, and we're looking to put Namor in the movie, and it turns out they don't own the rights to the character. For some reason, Universal has the rights
to NBC
Namor.
Make a TV movie or something?
I thought they were going to. No.
Was there an Aquaman show?
No, believe it or not, it comes from the stupid Universal ride. nobody had the rights really? To Namor.
Okay.
And when Universal Studios,
the theme park.
You know what? A theme park ride is probably the best use for
Namor. Poor Namor, yeah. A long line and a disappointing short trip.
Let's be honest. This isn't exactly like they're missing out on like the Dream Team caliber player here.
No, but interesting enough.
Who the fuck even knows who Namor is?
All of us know who Namor is.
People know Namor ride.
For non-nerds, if they know who Namor is, he's the lamer version of Aquaman, who everyone thinks... Hold on.
First off, Aquaman is a Namor ripoff.
I agree. Yeah.
That's true, but that's not the way it's written.
Namor came first. Like one of the very first Marvel characters?
Yeah. Yes. The first big three Marvel characters were Cap, Namor, and the Human Torch.
And they were all part of the team.
They were one of the...
Namor's the first mutant published.
Namor appeared in the very first Marvel comic in October 1939.
He did, so he is older than Aquaman, but Aquaman is far and away more
famous. Old, but doesn't mean
more
he's
popular, yes. Yes. More popular.
Well, I mean, standalone title more
than Namor ever has.
Well, yeah, Aquaman has the standalone title. He was on Super Friends, so a lot of cartoon exposure.
Yeah. And Namor never got like on the Avengers.
No.
That didn't happen.
He's too much of a dick.
Yeah, Namor's an asshole.
He's in the Avengers now, a version of the Avengers now, and he's the hugest just douchebag
he
in
does
that book.
Nothing good and only
he
makes
just,
things
he
worse.
He punches Dr. Fate in the face and ruins
and
universes.
All
now I threw a trident at Batman.
Or whatever he did, damn it.
That's probably confusing what he just said.
Namor's really, if you think about the original anti-hero, he was there to protect his kingdom.
Yes.
He did not care about what America had to do. He saw the Axis... as a threat to Atlantis.
It is arguable that Namor was...
He was not a good guy or a bad guy.
He was the skeleton for everything else Marvel did later.
Mm-hmm.
Making different new characters, relatable characters, characters that weren't like Batman and Superman and that ilk. Yes.
But boy, did we get off of Thor.
Yeah, we did.
Well, I feel like we've said what we need to say about Thor's.
Yeah. The proof is in the pudding.
Well, hopefully it's not a gimmick. Hopefully his unworthiness isn't some ham-fisted bullshit.
No, and that's why
I got a question, though.
Go ahead, Steve.
Did anybody see the artwork for actual Thor, not the male Thor?
Yeah. Sandra Bick did a... take on female Thor and on male Thor holding Yarnbjorn.
Well, that's in the previews.
Right.
Well, that's on a cover.
Did it look to you guys that he had a metal arm?
Yeah. Well, yes. Yeah. Well, if you remember earlier in Jason Aaron's run, old Thor is missing an arm and he has the Destroyer's arm. And it's the same arm that looks like it's missing.
Well, when was this? Because
that has not happened yet. He's losing that arm.
Yes.
Well, in Jason Aaron's run,
there's a future Thor.
There's past Thor, present Thor, future Thor.
The current Thor.
They haven't done that.
Jonathan Hickman's going to do
Thank
that.
Thank God. Okay.
He's still running around.
He's got to.
I was just wondering if the current one has lost it. I'm like, wait a minute.
What's going to happen? Avengers is going to jump 8 months into the future, during that 8 months, somewhere along the way, Thor is going to lose that arm and replace it with.
Maybe that's why it'll be just one little tidbit. Excellent.
According to Wikipedia. Namor was actually predated Marvel Comics.
They were still timely at the time.
Yeah, they were still timely comics. Yeah.
Well, no, predated all of those.
Both DC and Marvel, as we know, he did motion picture funny weeklies.
Whatever that is.
And it actually was
motion
a 36-page comic book series created in the early 30s as a giveaway in movie theaters.
Dang, a 36-page comic book given away?
Man,
I missed the patch.
It was also what, like the 10-cent
comic book. Dude, I know, right? Proved unsuccessful. A handful of sample copies.
I bet they're worth $1 million.
Yeah. Oh, God. If you said that one, that's readable.
It is the first appearance of a Marvel character
ever.
Namor the Sun.
Does it say how much they're worth?
Tens of thousands.
It does not.
At least.
I bet it's so expensive.
Yeah.
But it'd be cool to have one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So. We'll go to get our TARDIS on and go find a set.
TARDIS?
Marty, let's go back to the past!
Well, the new Doctor Who trailer did premiere.
Yeah, it did premiere this week. We finally get a look at Peter Capaldi beating the 12th Doctor.
Yes.
Big deal.
Yep.
As he was a person who appears as another character previously in the recent reboot of Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Which is not technically a reboot.
Not technically.
A refashioning of
the series. Yes, yeah.
And it's a big deal for everyone across the pond. I don't know. For here, it's maybe not as big, but still
pretty
big.
Doctor Who isn't as big here.
It's not as big here, but it's still got a pretty huge following.
It has a huge following. Massive.
But not compared to...
Not compared to over the pond.
Well, you know,
it's little on the outside, but big on the inside.
Okay, there's like... The time I spent in England, they all just watch American shows. There's three actual British properties that they're just obsessed with, not counting soccer.
Well, that's the other thing. You know, half of the television stations are owned by the British government, and they put out BBC, or they put out Doctor Who.
Yeah, in all fairness,
so there's only one channel, like major channel in England, that is not owned by the BBC, and it's E4.
Yeah.
That's it.
I'm cool with
that.
They
just show Friends reruns.
And they just show Friends reruns, and then Skins.
Yeah.
And then The Inbetweeners, which is hilarious.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of both shows.
I'm a fan of BBC shows. The government in England can keep on cranking out TV as much as
they want. Top Gear is... I'm not even a big car person, but Top Gear is awesome.
It's awesome. Yeah.
Right.
It's great.
I'm just saying, there's no, they're not going to put out a direct competition. They're going to come out with a genre... And now the advantage is that gives them a little more freedom to take chances and risk.
Yes.
You know, Prime Evil is a great example.
If,
took a lot of risk on that show. It was a ton of fun to watch.
Ton of fun.
Dinosaurs. That made it all, what, one season?
Prime Evil, five seasons.
The stuff that shines is like really some of the best stuff out there, like Doctor Who, Sherlock.
Sherlock. Is great. Are you kidding me?
And they're mini
Sherlock's probably the best new show I've seen in 2 years.
Luther, one of the best crime dramas.
I definitely like Misfits.
Misfits owes a lot to the X-Men, but yeah, it's a good show.
Oh, well, yeah, it's very derivative, but it's fun.
I would say it's more like The Runaways. It reminds me a lot of Brian K. Vaughan's Runaways.
Still an awesome show.
Just like The Runaways.
Yeah, he does. He just
loves Runaways. That's the reason I watch The Misfits.
Yeah, he just finds any excuse to bring up Runaways.
It's a great book. Space
is hard to watch.
What was the show you mentioned? Wasn't it a BBC
in
show?
The zombie one.
That's a good one.
Planet Earth stuff that they put out is like mind-blowing nature documentaries.
Am I trying to say they're bad TV producers.
He's just a diehard American against socialism is all.
Well... American shows. You know.
I piss red, white, and blue. Doctor said it's pancreatic cancer, but fuck him.
I was trying to say shows like Firefly.
Yes.
If they were put out in Britain, would definitely have a longer chance.
Oh yeah, they wouldn't have.
You know, like our Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Yes.
You know, as long as they had a cult following, they'll keep
fucking
making
Fox.
You know? I know, dude. Fox. Almost Human. They canceled that shit on me.
Did.
I love that show.
But we still get 25 years of The Simpsons.
Also, drama.
It's like getting Madden every year and not getting the new.
I love The Simpsons, but just how it used to be.
Family Guy got canceled twice, and Futurama got canceled three times.
Three times. And they're talking about bringing Futurama
back.
No, they've ended it. I love Futurama, but they've ended it in a good spot.
Comedy Central said they don't
want it to become The Simpsons or just become.
Comedy Central has been on record to say they will pay whatever they need to get Futurama back on.
Because it's
phenomenal. I agree with you. They should.
Why don't they just do like the movies like they've been doing?
Yeah, sure, they can do movies.
Yeah.
But not as many people are going to watch the movie consistently as they will a TV show.
Fair enough.
I will argue
that there's enough Futurama that it could be in syndication for the next 30.
There's enough Simpsons where they could play an old episode as a new episode, and I bet you most of the audience wouldn't even.
And
it
would be relevant.
I mean, if you could watch
the scary part.
You can watch just Golden Age Simpson from like fourth season to like.
Yeah, it's obnoxious that they have something called Golden Age Simpsons. That's obnoxious.
Well, that show's been on that long. You know, the Simpsons have been on long enough that the animation is so much better than it was.
Well, not even talking their Tracy Ullman animation.
We're going to have to wait for Bennett to die or something before they'll stop doing The Simpsons. Because you can't replace him. You just can't.
And this is Matt Groening. You know, he tried to retire, but then he found out he likes money.
Yeah, he loves making money. And doesn't really have to do anything. Doesn't even really have to show up to make it.
Right, right. It's the whole Brett Favre effect. You want to give me how many millions?
Okay.
You better say Joe again. Come on.
Yeah. We were just, man, we, We're getting on to sports again. It's like the whole Brett Favre fiasco when that happened was just
a fiasco. Speaking of sports, I want to share everyone a little story.
I want to hear it
this week.
Oh, is it soccer related?
Yeah, you had a terrible weekend.
Twist your ankle again?
So I hate you guys. So this weekend I was at home and I was on the internet and all of a sudden I get a message on Facebook from Taylor that says, "Damn, I am sorry." I have no idea at this point in time what he's talking about. I had just woken up.
Okay.
And I hadn't gotten on ESPN yet or turned on SportsCenter. Oh. And as those know, I'm a giant, massive Miami Heat fan.
Yeah.
I mean, as big as it gets, I
meant it sincerely. I wasn't trying to run.
No, and I had I legitimately had no idea. Hey, that's my fault.
You got two championships, two good runs.
No, yeah. We had his best years. We had literally Bron and his prime.
Yeah.
This is, from here on out, Bron out of the prime.
Yeah.
Well, now you're just being spiteful.
Yeah, now I'm being a little spiteful. Okay. But, no.
LeBron James left the Heat.
Well, LeBron James left the Heat, and Taylor was the first person to tell me, not my dad, not my uncle, not SportsCenter. It was a good moment that we've grown closest friends, that the first person to tell me about LeBron James leaving
That's awesome.
Was Taylor, and he did it in the most kind and courteous way. Well, most people would have...
LeBron James!
message, getting a call.
But no.
Hey, I got some bad news.
Despite LeBron James making, what, 30, 25, 30 million a year?
Yeah.
In Cleveland. He's saving that city. They're saying that it's going to make him $600 million a year to have him in the city.
You got to feel for Cleveland at this point.
The mistake by the lake.
They have not had a sports championship in any sport for five decades.
Yeah, I think he's trying to be loyal to his hometown. He's like, I'm ready to retire anyway.
Yeah.
I can do some good for my home
city. Exactly.
Pump the brakes. He's not even 30.
Yeah.
He could retire.
Yes.
He could. But if he wanted to quit sports right now, he could
and
live
sure,
very well the rest of his life. Yes.
But we're also talking about he went back to the team where the owner openly
said
Cleveland would get more championships without him.
That was hilarious.
And Cleveland would get a championship before the Heat ever would again.
Well, I say that's good on LeBron for not being spiteful and letting one guy comment.
Though, because
we're talking about an entire city went in uproar against him.
Than 2 weeks since they removed that letter from their website.
Yes.
This spiteful piss and vinegar letter.
Well, they've already got the LeBron banners up, though, at the stadium.
But that's now let's leave that
My
comment.
Dad was
that
in
letter.
Cleveland during the announcement. And he said there were people there burning jerseys and effigy and things like that. Yeah, so it was a very terrible scar on the city that hopefully gets healed a little bit now.
Yes, I'm just saying, in the last 4 years of him... Yeah, easy now. That was a little thick. We're talking about the city in the last 4 years.
It sounds a little silly.
Him every time he's walked
yes,
into...
Yes,
the, it's
have.
Not like they were cool they about have. It. It's not like Chicago clapped for... Jordan when he played for the Bullets.
Oh yeah, the Wizards.
Yeah. No,
they were the Bullets before the Wizards.
Like a million years ago.
I know.
A million years ago.
I just thought it was funny that Washington, that was like the highest crime city.
Yes.
When they
it does sound like Gomer's laying it on a little thick, but it is genuinely a huge deal to the people of Cleveland that he didn't go back.
It's huge.
They've had people on the radio talk about this is the first time we've ever had an important athlete choose
exactly.
to come to Cleveland.
Exactly. And
that sounds ridiculous, but that's true.
And now
it's a big year because they also got Johnny Manziel on the ground.
Yeah.
Oh,
and,
God,
and now
Johnny
that LeBron is back in Cleveland, other players actually want to come to Cleveland too.
Yeah, I mean, if they can get Kevin Love,
it's not going to happen.
They could compete in the East.
If they're willing to give up Wiggins for him, that might have happened.
No, they've already openly said they would not trade Wiggins, and then Minnesota says we're taking him elsewhere.
I think that team,
Minnesota,
Cleveland,
has to trade him though.
Yeah, they have
and if
to.
Kevin Love comes out and says I'm not committing anywhere but Cleveland because I want to play with LeBron James. They are up the creek by a paddle.
But Cleveland looks so much better in the East. All they need is one or two pieces, and they could own the East.
They've got three
first-round
draft picks.
No way!
They
don't have a single bench.
They've got three first-round draft picks next year. Kyrie Irving's a good...
In the playoffs.
Kyrie Irving's a good point guard.
They'll still have number one
seed. If they do end up keeping Wiggins is a
solid. Who else in the East is going to have a number one seed?
Now, Taylor,
Bulls
would probably solid.
No, I don't think so.
Because, okay, Taylor's bringing up a good point with the three first-round draft picks. Because if you remember, when the Cowboys, before Roger Staubach retired, they got all those first round draft picks. Yes, but they've only gotten out to be Emmitt Smith, Troy Aikman, Michael Irving.
But they also got what's his name that they traded a thousand whatever for.
Herschel
Walker, and it was almost a bust, pretty much a bust.
Yeah, but hold on.
As far as championships
three,
go,
well, out of their three first round draft picks the last 3 years, they've only gotten one good player.
That's right,
Kyrie Irving.
Wiggins is good.
Wiggins is all right. What's the Trailblazers' number one draft pick a few years ago? Never played one game.
The number one pick they had last year, Bennett, I think it's
yes.
I don't know what it is. I'm not sure that's his name because I never heard of him in college, and he hasn't done shit.
Exactly. He's a terrible pick.
That's the thing about the NBA. You know, Michael Jordan was drafted number two. Who was drafted before him?
Some chump.
Exactly. Some chump.
It doesn't matter. It's just some chump.
Exactly. But that's what happens in the NBA draft.
LeBron was the first round draft pick.
Yeah.
But he's good.
But see, that's the thing, though.
He's a good player.
Yeah, they already have LeBron.
Yeah.
Yes.
So they, and then presumably they'll probably get something to help them move forward.
I think one or two pieces.
We're talking Mike Miller out of his prime.
One or two pieces is all they need, and they can dominate
just
the East.
They need to get up there.
LeBron's get you to the playoffs automatically.
Exactly. You have LeBron on your team, you make the playoffs. Yes. Eight teams from each. Go.
Guys,
it's hard not to make the playoffs in the NBA.
LeBron can't do everything.
That's what we learned this season. Lesson learned. At Cleveland.
Yes. He couldn't do everything.
The reason that I think it was a bit silly for the Cleveland fans to like treat it as though LeBron was a supervillain, he gave them a lot of years to build the team around him, and they never put it together.
Yes, they should really have hated
maybe
the front
they've
office
learned their
and general management
maybe
of that team.
If they get Kevin Love and they have Kyrie Irving, bam, that's a great team.
Yes.
They're probably the...
But we haven't
everyone's
seen Cleveland be able
them
to pull that out
yet. Yes, we haven't seen... Cleveland hasn't won or gotten into the playoffs since he has left.
Oh,
this,
I know.
Again,
that's what
we
I'm
should
saying.
Focus. LeBron chose Cleveland.
Yes.
They did not do some sort of magical recruiting.
I think that's the bigger point.
He pitied them, so he went to play for them.
The Cavs haven't been to the playoffs since LeBron left. But as soon as LeBron joins the team, immediately they're a playoff team.
I say, but immediately, at best, they're an eighth place team.
No,
guys,
at best, eighth.
Have you watched?
Best,
I watch.
At best.
You're putting them behind the Knicks?
Exactly.
The
exactly, dude.
Because here's the thing, guys. Kyrie Irving...
Really arguing sports?
Yes, I love it.
Let's change it off of this. Actually, we could probably do a sports podcast.
Yeah, we really
I would love to do
it. Let's change it off to World Cup, maybe, real quick.
Yeah, let's change it away from NBA.
Also, by the way, Kyrie Irving is hurt more than Dwayne Wade has been in his whole NBA career.
Let's talk about the World Cup.
He's got way more injuries to be that young.
Let's talk about East Germany finally winning a World Cup.
East Germany. Just because.
You can't even count it as East Germany.
I know, not anymore.
Well, you can in that Toni Kroos, André Schürrle, and Mario Götze are the only three East German players since
reunification
to score goals. Until then, it had only been West Germans who had ever scored in a
cup. Well, East Germany never won a World Cup.
East Germany never
won. West Germany, when we talk about Germany being like the one, it's like they had three World Cup titles, one of the premier organizations. We're talking about West Germany.
Yes.
East Germany had never contributed, even when reunification happened.
Yeah.
East German players
said. I forget who said, after German unification happened, they talked about, now Germany shall never lose the World Cup again with the East German and West German programs combined.
You idiot! East Germany
brings nothing to the table.
I just like his accent with it.
That was great.
They'll never lose again!
So, for those who don't know...
I saw a funny thing talking about how, West Germany...
on the shocks!
Germany humiliated after losing the... Germany humiliated after winning the World Cup 6.38 seconds behind schedule.
Yes.
For those who don't know, it was a big deal because a European team never won
on foreign soil.
On South American soil. We just had a last World Cup. Spain won
and wasn't it that a South American team in the World Cup final has never lost on South American soil?
Yes, so of the eight
it was
now,
huge.
Seven have all been won by South American teams in South America.
Until
the eighth, which was this year.
Yeah.
And then it just They had never lost.
The game itself was a really good game, though.
It was a great game.
I honestly did not think it was going to be. I thought, just based discounting the whole South American fortress, just looking at the teams, Germany had the better team. Okay. I was expecting them to win by
for a fortress in South America.
Okay, just like in sports terms, like home field advantage was a big ass deal to South
America. Now, the other thing that everyone forgets is there's a giant German population in Brazil.
Yes. Why is
and
that?
Argentina.
Is that because after World War II, everyone left? Actually,
well, the stereotype is the ex-Nazi world criminals fled to Argentina.
Yeah, well, X-Men First Class takes full advantage of that.
There was a lot of just normal German expats.
Yeah. It's a common misconception. It's Brazil that has the giant German population. There's actually three cities called New Hamburg, New Munich, and...
New Berlin now.
No, it's another city, and it has a Spanish name.
Okay.
But you see a lot of, like, Thiago Splitter for the Spurs is Brazilian.
Yeah.
You're going to tell me that guy's just Brazilian?
I didn't realize he was Brazilian.
Yeah. There's a lot, or a German player who's actually German-Brazilian, Sammy Kadira. Sammy Kadira.
Yeah.
Let's think about that. He's got a German first name.
Yeah.
And a Brazilian last name. But there's a lot. There's a giant German population in Brazil.
The game itself, though, I was expecting Germany to win like two goals in regulation. Went to extra time.
Yep.
Very late goal. It all comes down to Messi with the free kick, but he couldn't curve it in.
No.
Yeah.
But let's also give a lot of credit to Manuel Neuer.
Okay.
He only had three goals scored on him in the entire cup.
In the entire tourney.
Germany. The Ghana game. And the Brazil game, which...
And they were all in extra time.
I do think it's a shame that Messi didn't get the World Cup, because he has to live with so much shit now.
That just means his goalie wasn't scored on regular time in the entire tournament. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah. But he's awesome. At the end of the day, the best team won.
Yeah, the best team. Germany was the strongest team at the beginning of the tournament.
Can I say a big problem I have with soccer, besides just me being an American and not liking soccer? All right, in the tournament rules, I'm okay with a 0-0 tie. I'm cool with that. I totally understand. I'm a hockey fan. I know how that works. But when it comes down to like penalty kicks, it's luck.
Yeah,
there's really no skill involved.
If the goalie gets it,
there's luck. Hold on.
Of course, there's some skill
involved in all aspects of sport. I understand that, but penalty kicks, it seems like luck is the overarching.
It's very hard for the goalie to make a save.
Have you ever watched?
That upsets me.
A good goalie can.
A goalie can, but he's got to be lucky.
What
do you mean, a hockey shootout? No, that is not luck.
That is
skill on a goal. You're not watching enough hockey, my friend.
Okay, and I'm going to take a middle ground here.
Go ahead.
Yes, it's less. You don't need to be as lucky to be a goalie in hockey because you can cover the whole goal.
Yeah.
If you guess wrong in soccer, you're fucked. There's nothing
you
can
do. If you
guess
wrong, but you can get fake to the right and make a move to the left.
But that's part of the
being
process.
A good keeper as well.
If you're a good keeper, if you're a good keeper, you can read the player.
Yeah.
If you're a good player, you can fake the goalie.
Yeah.
And I've seen great.
I think there's a lot more luck to it than there should be
on the goalie's half.
On
maybe.
Such an important thing.
Well, look at
it's an important
the Argentina Netherlands.
Well, you keep going till someone gets.
Yeah.
Lucky.
No, I know.
Yeah, but look at the Netherlands Argentina game. That keeper.
Yeah.
Was a great keeper.
But he
and he called it right.
He
yes,
called
it's
it right.
Hard to
but
read
a great kick. A great.
But it's luck, and then he's choosing
left
or right.
He can bend it into the corner where even if you guess right,
you go in the other way. Yes.
Yeah.
There's a lot of factors to it. It's a lot of pressure.
Yeah,
and you know sometimes the kick also he whiffs the
they
ball.
They should add
over
another
it.
Goalie.
That's ridiculous. That's
two
ridiculous.
Goalies for penalty kicks. As an American, I would love to see that.
Leave the fucking store. It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
As a hockey fan, you
the
should
game
allow
has been played.
Fight.
Yes, it should just be a big fight.
Then it's impossible to get it in with two keepers. They each got half of the goal. They're good.
Well, and most. Soccer games in other countries ends in big fights anyway.
This one did too.
The one we're talking about did too.
For those who don't know, there was a major riot in Argentina.
Yeah, Buenos Aires was burned to the ground, more or less.
Well, of course. Well, who didn't see that coming? Well, in all fairness, guys, all of Brazil would have burned the ground if Argentina had won.
Oh, yeah. In all fairness, if Brazil got burned down, all of South America would have got really.
Oh, and the world system would have been thrown into whack with all the Amazon rainforest going away.
Yeah, they're burning rainforest anyway down there.
What
else we got? World Cup was it was fun.
It was fun.
It's good every 4 years.
I made a joke with my dad, and he actually got this joke for once.
Yes,
because my dad only knows five superheroes and or X-Men.
Okay.
And during the Brazil game, I was like, man, they just need to put Sunspot in the game and maybe they would win. And he actually laughed.
Okay. Nice. My experience, though, watching the World Cup game, I was watching at a friend's house. We had picture the whole time until extra time. We missed the only goal of the match. It's a good thing that Mario Götze has, like, the most German name of all time, because we knew automatically, oh, okay, well, Germany scored.
Yeah.
But, and also what was really funny is the coach, Joachim Löw, hates Mario Götze and didn't want to bring him to this tournament. But Marco Reus got hurt, and he brought Mario Götze. Yep. And he thinks he's an overrated German, the young German player. Yeah. He doesn't think much of the kid. And the kid won the tournament.
That was more about the pass than the...
Yeah.
It was, he handled it, he got it off the chest, hit it perfectly.
Oh, phenomenal.
He was in the right place at the right time, and he deserves credit for that, but the pass deserves just as much credit on that goal.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God, Andre Schurrle's...
Which is appropriate, because that's Germany's... Germany is the machine.
Yes.
They're disciplined, they are a team. They don't rely on
Can we move off of football and move...
Thank you.
How long till football? We got 3 weeks till preseason, don't we?
Because, like, now... summer is such a black hole of uninteresting sports for me because I don't care about baseball.
Yeah, NASCAR and baseball.
Hey, yeah. NASCAR's great.
NASCAR's all right.
Once look, the he's turning left.
He's turning left again.
Once the Stanley Cup and the NBA
Come on, bro. You really love it.
Come on, go fast.
Yeah, NASCAR's a bunch of people turning left. Yeah. Well, you're hoping one of them turns
right.
Thank God for the World Cup this year, because normally this happens to me in June when the Stanley Cup and the NBA Finals are over. Oh, my God. There's nothing to watch until football starts.
So when is preseason? When's the
August.
The Hall of Fame game is, what, August?
Dude, it's so funny. Your 15th? Football starts in August and my football starts in August.
Yeah,
but the important football
hate
is starting
the end of July.
And we get baseball. Baseball, All-Star game was last night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Jeter's last All-Star
good
game.
Good for him. It's his last.
I hate Derek Jeter, so it's good. He's leaving. I'm glad about that.
I hate the Yankees. I hate anyone who's played for them.
But you Jeter's one of the all-time greats. Yeah, it was good to see him go out strong.
Yeah. I'm an Eagles fan in NFL, and I won't even watch live with Kelly and Michael, because Michael Strahan used to be a Giant.
So you just hate all New York.
Hate all of New York.
All right.
I'm kind of with them on that one.
All of New York.
Most of my family's
sports,
from New
York. Anyway.
Yeah.
Sports.
I'm like that way for Boston. I can't stand the Celtics, the Red Sox, the Bruins.
I don't mind them unless they're playing New York. Then I'm like, go Boston. Yeah. Can't stand New York. Can't
football.
Stand the Giants, man. Hate
or
the
baseball.
Giants. With a passion.
What about the Jets?
Jets, are they even really a team?
The Jets produce Flash Gordon. Flash Gordon was a Jet.
Flash!
Yep. Yeah, okay, so...
The Jets are almost
starting quarterback for the New York Jets.
But I hate who's their quarterback this year? The Jets quarterback this year?
They have one?
I just hate the Jets because, like, they're a bad team that I still have to... They still talk all the goddamn time about them on ESPN because they're a New York team.
Because, Well, the reason they talk about the other NBA team, the Clippers. They talk about the Clippers all the time.
The Titans.
Well, the Clippers actually have a good team.
Even in years when the Titans are much better than the Jets, they always talk about the fucking Jets.
They do. They do. Mark Sanchez. He's thrown more interceptions.
So,
okay, let's keep talking about sucky.
Mark Sanchez was also the guy who ran into his own player.
Butt fumble.
One of my many numerous jobs in my past was as an usher at Texas Stadium.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
The old Texas Stadium. The old Cowboy Stadium.
Yeah,
that's freaking awesome, dude. Seriously?
Yeah.
How do I not know this about you? That would be such a cool job.
He's mysterious.
My dark
He has seen so many cool things. He has seen being working at.
But I can tell you.
Larry's like the Joker to me. I don't want to know him.
The fan bases of Northeastern teams.
The NFC East.
Tend to be. The New York teams and
well, the New York,
the Washington teams.
Yeah. Well, those teams all came to Dallas. Those teams all came to Dallas.
Yes. They are the biggest.
Yes, we are.
In the stands.
Yes, we are, man.
The NFC East.
The NFC East.
The Philadelphia
Eagles.
The Cowboys.
The Eagles
once
Giants
and the Red
Santa Claus.
Oh,
Boots
my
Santa
God.
Claus.
I am so sick of hearing about that. It's the most mediocre conference in the NFL.
Not this year.
It was the worst
conference. Not this year.
Here's my thing.
They're hardly ever the
Dallas Cowboys and the Arizona Arizona Cardinals get mixed up in the NFC East.
Yeah. Well, they kept the reason they had the Cardinals because they used to be the St. Louis Cardinals, and they moved. And then when there were five teams per division, and then when they removed everything, changed everything around, you cannot have the Cowboys not playing the Giants and the Eagles twice a year. You just can't. So that's why they stayed there.
Yeah, but still, they were in there. From way back when. I don't know. I just don't know why they even call it the NFC East.
Well, most of those teams are in the East.
Yeah,
the Giants, the Eagles, and the Redskins.
Cowboys sure as shit aren't.
But
they just need to come up with different names.
Yeah, before they had teams.
It's bad for the SEC now, where Missouri is part of the SEC East, even though they're like.
And how many teams are in the Big Ten? 15?
12.
Let's talk about things that don't make sense. 13 or 14. East like and west of hockey make no kind of sense anymore.
What?
The east and west of hockey makes
As pretentious as it is, I almost think that the Big Ten have the way to go where they're the legends and the leaders instead of giving geographic directions.
Yeah.
Because at least then... That sounds stupid as hell, but at least like there's no arbitrary.
But when the Cowboys were added to the NFC East... There were no other teams in the NFC on east of Dallas to add to those teams. There weren't. The Rams were in L.A. Yep. There weren't any Florida teams except Miami, and that was AFC.
Well,
there was no Jacksonville. There was no Panthers. There were no. There were those teams didn't exist. Yeah, those teams didn't exist. So yes, the Cowboys need to be in the NFC East.
When the Cowboys were bought to the NFC East, they were originally the Kansas City Chiefs, who became the Dallas Texans.
Yes.
All right. The Dallas Texans. Then they decided to become the Houston Oilers and keep the they split between the Houston Oilers and the Dallas Cowboys.
But the Houston Oilers was a new team.
The Houston Oilers were technically a new team, even though a lot of the staff from
the Texans eventually became the Tennessee Titans.
Yes, and now we have another.
They became the Tennessee Titans, we got the Houston Texans
back.
Because Houston still had rights to the name.
Yes. Yep.